Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Today we're going to be learning the halachas of Sfiras Omer, of counting the Omer. The Torah tells us that we count from the day that is after the Shabbos, which is understood to be the first day of Pesach, on the day that we bring the Korban HaOmer. The Korban HaOmer was a grain offering, which was brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Although when we think about the word Korban, a sacrifice, we think about offerings which are made of animals coming from the livestock, but there were a lot of sacrifices called menachos, which were meal offerings made of grain, and one of them is called the Korban HaOmer. It was brought on the 16th day of Nisan, and it is brought of the first grain after the Korban HaOmer was brought. That was the time when all the produce that had taken seed in the last year, which was up till then called Chadash, was now permissible to be had and is now considered deemed Yashan. So it is a very important moment. We do no longer bring the Korban HaOmer because we do not have a Beis HaMikdash, but we count the Omer, which means we count from the time that the Omer would have been brought till Shavuos, which is 7 weeks or 49 days. The Torah has two different ways of describing it as well. Now, we're going to look at the five basic concepts over here. Again, this is a brief overview. This is not an in-depth analysis, but just to get a quick reminder about these important halachas. We're going to look at four concepts. Number one is when to count. Number two is forgetting to count. Number three is how to count, and four is national avelos during the sfira. Let's go from the top. The concept of when to count, we're going to look at seven basic questions. What position are we supposed to count? One is supposed to be counting standing up. So there are certain brachas which require being in a standing position. This is one of them. When does one count? So one should count really at the very beginning of the night. That means just after Tzeis HaKochavim, after it is dark. And this is because one wants to count where one has the entire day right ahead of one, the entire day of 24-hour period, so it should be right then as well. For the shuls which daven Mincha Maariv, which means they're davening before sunset, and then they daven Maariv right away afterwards, so it becomes more complicated. In shul, some shuls, what they try to do is they make the break a little longer, so the counting is later. Some people try to make sure they daven Maariv later, so they're counting at the right time after Tzeis HaKochavim, after stars out. And in some shuls, they'll count at the very end, even after the Maariv, in order to assure that it's later in the period of twilight as possible. Now, if I missed, when can I count? So if I did not make it at the time of Tzeis HaKochavim, but it's now late, it's 9 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock, it's 11 o'clock at night, when can I count? So one is allowed to count to the bracha all night long. In shul, when do we count? On Friday night. So on a Shabbos night, we count after Kiddush in shul, and that's because we want to bring in Kiddush Shabbos first. We want to extend Shabbos on the onset. If we're on Motzei Shabbos, when do we count? We do it after Avdalah, because we want to extend Shabbos on the outset. So we want to make sure that Shabbos is as long as possible, and therefore we do Kiddush before Sfiras HaOmer on Friday night, and we do Avdalah after Sfiras HaOmer on a Motzei Shabbos. Are there any other restrictions around counting? So the answer is yes. One should try not to work at night during the Sfira. So it's called Sheva Shabbosais Tmimois Tiana. There's supposed to be a notion of rest. So at night time, one should try to not work. It's not always possible for everybody. One should endeavor not to do work at night. How does the Omer end? It ends on the last day, the 49th day goes into Shavuos. The minhag is the halacha has become that we only daven Maariv on Shavuos at Tzeis HaKochavim. So we extend, we usually have a longer shir called a Tamimah's shir to make sure that the 49 days are complete. So we counted 49 complete days. We don't bring in early Yom Tov. Now we move into our second concept, that is forgetting to count. What is if I forgot to count all night? I wake up the next morning and I say, oh my goodness, I didn't count last night. What do I do? In that case, one can count during the following day, that day, without a bracha. So let's say it's day 3, one forgot to count the night. One says, oh, today is Hayom Yom Shlosha Yomim. And then that is that one would have counted, and one continues counting with a bracha there afterwards, because there's no gaps. What if I cannot remember if I counted at night or not? So that's more of a common thing. I just don't remember. Even if one did not count in the day, one does not know if one counted, then one can rely on continuing to count with a bracha. It's when one knows one left it out and didn't during the day that becomes a problem. So now what is about that situation? What happens if I forgot to count at night, I forget to count during the day, I'm completely finished? In this case, one would not be able to continue counting with a bracha. And this is a really important point. It doesn't say that you don't count anymore. It just says you don't count with a bracha. A lot of people kind of say to themselves, oh, well, I lost my sfera, so I'm not doing it anymore. No. According to many opinions in the Rishonim, one still carries on counting. We don't say with a bracha because it's a machlokes Rishonim. We don't count the bracha because there's a debate as to whether this is a continued counting. But according to a significant amount of poskim, one still can count. So one should carry on counting even if one has not done the bracha. Very, very important to realize. It's important to understand that the psychology of a bracha. The bracha gives something importance and relevance, but even without the bracha, one can still do it. Now, concept number three, how to count. So let's say it's twilight. It's just after night. And somebody says, well, what's tonight? You haven't counted yet. How do you respond? The answer is you should say last night was X in order to avoid saying tonight is Y. And just by saying tonight is Y, tonight is the fifth night of the Omer, one may have fulfilled the obligation just by saying that. And therefore, one will no longer need a count, and that's a little bit of a problem because then you can't say with a bracha, and you've lost that opportunity to do it in the correct way. Do I need to know what night it is when I'm saying the bracha? The answer is yes. Before you start the bracha, you need to know what you're counting because you're saying a blessing on doing something, but you don't know what you're doing. So that's a little bit of a mindless opportunity. So we need to make sure that you know what you're doing when you're saying the bracha. This is true about any bracha, by the way. If you're about to say a bracha and you have in front of you a cup of liquid, and you want to say a bracha on that to drink it, you need to know what's in that cup before you say that bracha, because otherwise, what are you saying? You can't just work things out as you go. Figure it out beforehand. Judaism is trying to give us intentionality in life. Now, what happens if I didn't know and I figured it out afterwards? I hear real saying, oh, tonight's the fifth night, then I go, oh, ayom hayom chamishi ba'omer. So in that case, if one started off with without intent, one hears what everybody else has said, but the evidence is sufficient. That's not ideal, but it's sufficient. What if, when I said the bracha, I intended night number four, but really, it was night number five? And then I heard what they said, and I said the right thing. So that's fine. Even though you had the wrong intention during the bracha, nonetheless, because physically you said the correct bracha, and then you said the correct words when you realized, then it's fine. What if I already said, Hayom yom arba'ayom im la'omer, ba'omer, it's now 4 days, and then you realize after you just said that it's actually 5 days. So it depends. If it's Tochidei Dibur, if it's within 3 seconds of finishing that, then you quickly change it and say, Yom Chabishah Yom Yomimimimimimim, and you're fine. If it was after those 3 seconds, then you didn't fulfill the mitzvah at all. So you would need to say a new bracha and count correctly. And the bracha you said originally was a bracha Levatala, which is a really big problem. Now we move into the next and last concept today, and that is the idea of national averus during Sfira. We know that this is a time when the students of Rabbi Akiva passed away between Pesach and Shavuos, specifically the first 33 days, it seems. And therefore, there is a residual period of Avelis. This is also accentuated by the fact that there's other periods of Avelis that usually happen around this time of year. This is the period of time when the Crusades happened as well. There's a lot of complicated times that occurred during this period of time. And so therefore, there is a national, we'll call it, level of Avelis as well. What are the restrictions during this period? So we are not allowed to have make weddings, not allowed to have haircuts or shaving, and we also refrain from music and great enjoyment. So when is this in play from until? So there are a few different minhagim. The one main minhag is from then the first day of the Omer, which is the 16th of Nisan, until like Ba'omer, which is the 18th of Iyar, and that's 33 days. Another minhag is that it is from Rosh Chodesh Iyar, which is excluded, so it's the 2nd of Iyar, until Shavuos, which ends on Erev Shavuos, which also happens to be 33 days. And there's another minhag that the Rosh Chodesh Iyar is included, and then the last day is the first of the 3 days of Hagbalah, and that's the Mikta Siyam Kekula, and part of the day is like all the day as well. Notice that you'll hear people saying the idea that we keep this half and that half of the Omer. Just to clarify things, there's no halves over here. It's either two-thirds this way or two-thirds that way, just to clarify that point. Now, which way should one keep? So one should keep what one's parents kept. One should be sure to follow the minhag of one's parents. And the Kitzur says every community should have one practice that everybody follows as well. Unfortunately, that train left the station a long time ago because when people left Europe, they left communities which had specific minhagim and people knew where they came from and what they were supposed to be doing and what they're all about. Today, it's a melting pot. Everybody just moves to any neighborhood, to any shul, without any focus or consideration. And as Rav Moshe Feinstein points out, that today people daven because of convenience and locations. And when they daven because of convenience, it's not about minhag or family tradition or what we used to do. It's just a melting pot of people davening together. So in that case, communities don't always have the same minhag anymore. In the diaspora reality. And as such, people should be sure to follow their family minhags and not flip-flop as well. Unfortunately, today, it's become that the Omer seems to be not 49 days, but 18 days, because it seems with everybody cutting off the edges on either side, there seems to be simchas all the way up to Rosh Chodesh, and all the way from Lag BaOmer, and so a person can end up just basically only keeping 18 days of the Omer in the middle. But it really, technically speaking, it would be better if people actually kept the two-thirds of the Omer, the 33 days that they're supposed to. Now, if one keeps the first section, are there any gaps? The answer is yes. If Rosh Chodesh Iyar falls on Shabbos, then on that Erev Shabbos, haircuts may be taken, weddings may be made, and that would be if you're keeping the first section, the first two-thirds, from the 16th of Nisan to the 18th of Iyar, then that Erev Shabbos, if the Rosh Chodesh would be on Shabbos, would be a space. What about Lag BaOmer? So on Lag BaOmer, there's more simcha. It was a time where the Talmidim stopped dying, and so therefore there's no Tachanun, which is set into the day of more simcha, and people can make weddings. But technically speaking, if you look at the strict halacha, it's mitzvah yom kekula, which means we like in Avelus, it ends, we keep the observations of Avelus in the morning. So the Avelus only really lifts on the morning of Lag BaOmer. So the haircuts, the weddings really should not be the night going into Lag BaOmer. That's not correct. It would be from Lag BaOmer morning onwards. Now, if one keeps the second section of the Omer, so from Rosh Chodesh onwards, are there any gaps? The answer is yes. On Lag BaOmer, one gets the break of that day for Simcha and for shaving and haircutting and music and so on. Who is allowed to have haircuts during the Omer? So a Sandek, a Moel, a parent of the child on the day of the Milah can have a haircut the evening before going into that Simcha. That's one exception. Are vorts, engagement parties, allowed during this time? They are, but without music and dancing. And yes, that means a cappella too. That means to say it's not supposed to be a time of express simcha in the same way, which just means we need to plan and make sure that the Judaism does not wrap around our lives, but our lives wrap around the Judaism. With this, we conclude the basic overview of the Omer. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.